is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my absolutely lovely co-host, the absolutely gorgeous...
Old Dinosaur, I think.
Old
I've
Dinosaur.
Been called, haven't I, on Twitter today?
Miss on a bike.
Ms. Dinosaur on a bike.
Yeah, I've seen that gif.
Yeah, thanks, Ethelbray. Thought I'd give him a shout out straight away.
Yeah, go. Hey, why don't you read the gif now? Go on.
I can't believe
Ernie.
It.
Ernie.
I can't believe it. And I'm not here. I'm still not Ernie. I'm the funniest. Ethelbray Limited. Hi, Burden. Hi, Business Bunker. Huge congratulations to Burden the Bike for all that pedalling uphill and freewheeling down. I wish I was freewheeling down, especially with those little legs. They are little. We're away for a few weeks from Thursday, but the office is running as usual. As anyone needing training, staff development, call and Fran will help you. I want to say thank you. I want to show appreciation and gratitude.
But
I'm not feeling it. Letty, how would you feel having a dinosaur as a gift?
I saw it. I was, well, I didn't know
mortified.
What to say. I was mortified for you because they're not your legs.
No.
She's got short, fat, hairy legs, apparently.
That's not short, fat, and hairy. They're not hers.
They're not
That's
mine.
That's not her.
They're not mine.
Have you seen it?
And I wouldn't ride that bike. I don't have stump pedals like that.
But it's not for radio, I know, but turn it round so the boys can see it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no. That's this is what I have to tolerate. Exactly.
But to be fair, that's good balance.
It's lucky. I tell you what, it's lucky I've got confidence, isn't it?
It is. I hope they've got some following that.
Anyway.
You're right.
Yeah, anyway.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you, Bird. How are you?
Well, yeah, I'm all right. What were you up to last week?
Well, I was pining for you because you were away.
I tried to ring you.
I know. I didn't see
this
it
phone coming. Thing's got to stop.
It has, really, hasn't it?
Either get it sorted, because yeah. I have tried to ring in.
She tried to ring from Rwanda. She tried to ring from the Alps. And I missed the call every time.
Yep.
Oops.
I think it's personal now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
What?
How did you do?
With what?
It being in the Alps.
It's
cycling.
It's lovely.
Well, up a mountain.
To be fair, I was sold a different holiday.
Uh-oh, Stephen.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Let's take the bikes. We can have a nice look around. I didn't know from 2,400 metres above, you know, sea level. Didn't realise that was the view I was going to look at. I know, Nettie. Look at that face. I know.
You didn't guess.
It was like the moon up there.
You and the moon.
Yeah.
That was it.
I tell you, it was freezing. Anyway.
Did he dump you there and you had to find your way back?
I wish he had dumped me, I tell you. That would have been much easier. And I didn't even cycle with him. He went off. He goes, because he's faster than me, so I'm on my own.
All right.
For 2 hours climbing a mountain.
You still went up the mountain. I'd have got to the
fool. What a fool. Anyway. It's good training, apparently.
Yeah, now what
it's
you need.
It's resilience.
Yeah, now what you need is a little basket on the front of your bike. If you've got a little
basket. I had one on my head.
Yeah. Now, if you've got a little basket on the front of your bike, you can have some bread in there and some cheese and pate and a little bottle of wine or something.
You
can have a picnic halfway out.
This is the first time ever in my life I realise I'm getting it wrong. It is.
For all of that,
it
did
is.
You?
I'm telling you, Lee. I'm telling you, I've never thought about it before, but I'm getting it wrong. I'm quite happy to say to everybody.
But did you have a nice time? That's a bad question, isn't it?
Tumbleweed.
The hotel food was beautiful.
That was it.
You just ran at the hotel.
Yeah. If I was awake.
Right, glossing over that. I want to say a big thank you to this week's show sponsors, Flexible Training Solutions for the glass and glazing industry and the wider construction sector, www.fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind. Thank you to Fit for Trade for sponsoring this week's show.
Can I ask a question?
Mm.
Have we had the Construction Expo yet?
No, 26th
Good.
Of September.
Good. I feel like I've missed out on what was happening. I wanted to know if we built the house in a day.
No, and funnily enough, I saw some tweets this morning that they tweeted us with pictures of half-built houses. For those that don't know, the Construction Expo that's taking place at the South East Event Centre at Ardingly on the 26th of September, a local Ashford company here... MFS, they're called, aren't they? Frame Systems. Mm.
Yeah, we had them in, didn't we?
Yeah. I suddenly got a blank over the first part of their name. They've been challenged to build a house in a day.
Blimey.
Yeah.
But we did it a bit wrong, didn't we? We challenged them. We said, surely you can break the world record. Yeah. And he was like, oh, yeah. So somebody texted in, didn't they?
Yeah,
and we really
Googled
set him up. We didn't mean to. We actually thought it would be a nice challenge. And actually, it was a ridiculous time that somebody got a house built.
The world record for building a house was set in Texas 4 years ago when they built a 2,500 square foot house in 3 hours.
He isn't going to do that.
How big is this house?
Yeah.
Was it inflatable?
Huh?
Was it inflatable?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you see these, like, Seven Brides for Seven Daughters and all these old American films.
I can't let that lie.
No, listen.
We'll come back to that. Write that down.
No, listen.
Seven Brides for Seven Daughters.
Yes. This is the new woke version. This is the new woke version of the Business Wanker Show. Thank you very much.
Oh, my life was so PC.
And there's my next book title. You missed this.
Yeah. I imagined all these Amish people, you know, building this house in 3 hours, you know, while singing.
Bless your beautiful eyes.
Exactly. That's it. Yeah. Exactly.
Don't worry, I'm sure Nick can sort them out mortgage.
Anyway, what have you been up to in business this week? Let's get back to professionalism.
I haven't been doing anything.
Have you not?
No, well, I've been busy doing nothing, you know.
Is politics affecting you yet in business?
It's driving me nuts.
Is it?
I think it's driving everybody nuts. Yeah. They're just all mad, aren't they? They're all completely stark, staring bonkers, a lot of them, every single last one of them.
And I'm not trying to poke you either on it. It's just it's becoming more and more. Actually, we're all numb to it. We just don't even care anymore. We've lost the care.
They just need to do something, yeah? The worst thing in business is not knowing, yeah? In business, they throw things at us all the time. I was just making a list the other day when I was having an argument with a local MP about this. You know, they're going, oh, yeah, but, you know, if we do the wrong thing, it could have disastrous effects. But you've been doing the wrong thing for years. Yeah, you never bothered about it before.
Do something.
You've got to do something. The worst thing for business is not knowing. All the time we don't know, we can't make decisions and we can't prepare ourselves. Once we know where we're going, whether we like it or not, whichever way it goes, we know what we're doing and then we can get on and do whatever we need to do. But we're in that limbo where we're just waiting for them to finish fannying around, basically.
Yeah, but they've been fannying around for how long now?
3 years now.
Exactly, and I still think we should let them carry on because business has carried on as usual. It's actually been quite good. The economy's fine. People have got jobs. Do we need them? There's the debate.
It's an interesting thing, isn't it? The ONS figures came out today. And wage settlements are running at 4%, 2% over inflation.
Yep.
We've got the highest employment we've ever had in ever.
Yep.
And we created 300,000 new jobs that have been filled in the last 6 months.
Yep.
Belgium...
They had no prime minister
for 2 years and their economy's gone through the roof. Yeah.
Therefore, there's a model out there that's working.
Let's hear it for anarchy.
We can start it here.
Yeah, let's hear it for anarchy. Let's not have a government. It would work. And talking of which, I see that our old friend's reverse VAT has been given a gooner.
So we've spent a year preparing for reverse VAT for the construction industry. It comes in on the 1st of October and on Friday, HMRC, after everyone had gone home, half past five, 6 o'clock.
Yeah, just snuck it out.
They're going to delay it for a year.
Yeah.
So again, businesses have changed. They've changed their VAT payments, you know, changed themselves over to monthly for refunds. They've got everything set up. It's cost business a fortune.
But here's my problem with this.
Go with it.
I tell you. And it's to do with the highways as well. So highways, you've got a lot to answer for as well. Nobody holds them accountable.
No.
Highways, are you sorting out the M20? Are you sorting out... We cannot go anywhere in this country at all. Zero. And the same with the Hold on a minute. HMRC.
Girl power today.
But it's HMRC, isn't it, as well? Nobody is holding you accountable.
Absolutely.
If that happened in normal business, I would be held accountable for that. It's shame on you.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I had a conversation with a politician who was telling me that one of the problems, and we were talking about Yellowhammer, the report from the Treasury that says we're all going to die. Basically,
they're not wrong.
Yeah. It's just timescales. And this politician was saying to me, yeah, but do you realise the effect of a 12-minute delay at Dover Calais? And I went, yeah. And they went, no, but do you really? I went, yeah, I live in Kent. Do you realise that in 2015 we had a 35-day delay and your response to that was, it's fine, yeah?
But they've got a longer delay now.
Yeah, no, but on Highways England, I did a TV programme, I chaired a TV programme for the BBC on Operation Stack for 2015, and they refused to come on the grounds that it wasn't really an issue.
Yeah, so what they've done now is put two lanes on the M20
Operation
that aren't used at all.
It's deliberate.
It's a picnic area.
Yeah.
I think we should start using it.
But nobody's holding them accountable. Yeah. So how do we influence people, inspire people to do the right thing, to hold these big... I don't even know what to call them.
I'll put something out.
Agencies accountable.
I think they are doing the right thing. That's,
oh, I'm sure they...
Really?
I do think that.
I'm sure they do. They
Self-governing.
Yeah.
I never thought... No, seriously, yeah. You really
believe... No, I don't believe it's right, but I think believe that is right. Otherwise, why would they do it?
Well, it all depends which bit you're talking about.
Exactly.
Operation Block is deliberate.
Yeah, that's
It's deliberate to cause the thing that they predicted that's going to happen.
That might.
Told you it happened.
Yeah, yeah. Told you. Yeah. Told you there'd be two lanes shut, didn't we? Yeah. And you didn't believe us.
And there it is. Yeah.
But HMRC, how do we hold them accountable? Them accountable?
You can't. It's crazy. And our politicians are supposed to do that. But they don't. And it's just a nonsense. We've had so many conversations about reverse VAT. And why it won't work and what all the problems with it are and why they're attacking the wrong thing with the wrong people. And after all these years of trying to get it, they suddenly go, oh, yeah, I've thought of that. We'll delay it.
We'll delay it, yeah. We'll think again.
But we've just made ourselves ready for it now, you great puddings.
Nessie, have they justified why they have decided to postpone it?
I think it was because not enough people were ready and they didn't want to do it at the same time as potentially Brexit. Okay. That's the official line.
Thoughtful.
Then delayed it in line with when Brexit will make.
Do another time. Think of another time. Yeah. I think it's back to anything. If they wanted to bring it in, they need to advertise it. Mm. I mean, everybody says, you know, we knew about making tax digital, but you didn't know about it from HMRC. You knew about it because you had to do your VAT through software. Mm. So all the software providers were making a song and dance about it because they wanted your trade.
Yeah.
This one didn't need anything special, so therefore, you know, about it when you're ready if someone tells you.
And without being funny...
I'm the funny one.
A bunch of construction subbies are the worst people in the world to start making complicated VAT returns, aren't they? You know, do you know who we're going to pick on? The very people that can't do this. The very people that leave it to the last minute anyway and then miss all their payments. Let's pick on them and make some really complicated rules, shall we?
You've just lost a massive audience for us. You've just got a whole hatred campaign going from the construction industry.
I'm on their side. I'm on their side. Don't pay your VAT. That's my advice.
Stop him talking.
We've already had seven brides with seven daughters. Anyway.
I'm woke, club. I told you I'm woke. See,
That's easy for you to say.
Go on, Paul, go again.
It's just I'm so woke that, you know, I've even got a plan for Brexit and a second referendum.
Have you?
Yeah, I think we ought to convert the first referendum into a test, yeah? And the test was all those that voted Leave were wrong, so they're not allowed to vote in the second one.
I'll tell you what's really interesting. When we were in Sir Chevalier, we were speaking to a lot of the English guys who were over there, who obviously made a life for themselves over there. They can't believe that we actually want to leave. Right. They said, look, it's made life so much easier. Now we're in a real predicament over here. It's really interesting hearing another side to the story of... They feel like the flow isn't there now, so they're you know, it's very interesting.
But that's because of the M20.
Yeah. But it all depends where you go. You know, I own a business in southwest France, and down there they're all Frexit. There's Frexit posters everywhere, and they all join in with the Gilets Jaunes riots every weekend and all the rest of it out in the country. There's no one looking at them, but they riot anyway. They just run up and down the road, you know, shouting.
And what do they think they're shouting about?
Well, they don't know. It doesn't matter. They're French, aren't they? It doesn't matter. They're just like a good riot. I mean.
Do you know what? One of the funniest things, I have to say, that's one of the funniest things, and it really shocked me about our sat nav. We're in the car and we're there and we're just going because we didn't want to go by Paris. So we're da da da. And we're going, and we've called our sat nav Vanessa, you know, the name, because she sounds a Vanessa.
Yeah.
And she went, we're just passing St. Omer. Sounds a mare. She couldn't even get it right. Yeah. It was St. Omer.
I'm surprised. I'm surprised you don't have a pirate sat nav.
It's little, not my car.
My little lovely.
It's not my car.
All right, my darling's turn left.
Yeah. It would be Scottish, wouldn't it?
Oh, would it?
Yeah. Could you imagine it? The saddest thing is that everybody understands him more than me. That's just terrible. I get so embarrassed. Anyway, he even has to ring through. Anyway, carry on.
Shall we start the show?
Yeah, let's do it.
We're only 20 minutes in, so nice. I mean, let's start, shall we? We'd like to hear from you, the businesses. You can get in touch with us in all the usual ways. You could call me, but I don't answer the phone.
Call him.
You could call me on 01233 220035, Ashford 01233 220035.
You don't need to say it again. There's no point.
You can ring, but I'm not going to answer. Yeah,
it's not that you don't answer. I don't see it.
I don't see it. You can email me at hello@bizradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to get in touch with us is to tweet me at VanillaWeb and use the hashtag BBunker. We've had loads of tweets already and we've already read a couple. Do you want to read another one? You're popular today as well.
They're all just getting on this thing about bird and a bike and my legs and whatever.
Your legs are popular, let's be fair. Yeah.
But for all the wrong reasons, being short, fat and hairy or old and scaly from a reptile of a dinosaur.
Absolutely.
Yep. So we've got Tech Expo. That's coming up quick now, isn't it?
It is.
15 days, apparently. So it says, hi, Vanilla Web, Bird and a Bike. Please give us a shout out. There are just 15 days to go until we open the doors to the inaugural Tech Expo with 5 keynote seminars headed up by Microsoft, 4 interactive workshops, 4 roundtables, networking over lunch and some fabulous exhibitors.
Fantastic.
And I'm reading something about it. And when is it? It's the 26th of September
at the Keene Event Centre. Yeah. Loads of things happening. You can come along and say hello to me because I'm there. I'm on stand B12. They're sponsored now as well by KM Media.
Oh, lovely.
At the Tech Expo. Mm. So, yeah, that's really cool. So good. We're looking forward to that. It's going to be a great event and we're looking forward to seeing you there. It's free to attend. Come along. Loads of good seminars, workshops, exhibitors, lots of things. One of the rationales behind the event is... I had a meeting a few weeks ago with the Minister for Small Business, and one of the things that the government are concerned about is the low productivity levels we have in the UK. And one of the reasons for that we were looking at is the lack of uptake in digital amongst small and medium-sized businesses. So one of the driving factors behind the Tech Expo is to try to get more small and medium-sized businesses to understand what tech is out there to help them improve their productivity. Because a lot of it's free as well. You know, there's loads of free or very low-cost apps that can help you do stuff. I've had a tweet from the lovely folks at Diamond Circle Weddings, and they say, hello, Business Bunker, Vanilla Web. When you see that Riftonet is back on the show, you know it's going to be a great show. I'll stop creeping.
Nettie, you're getting...
famous.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I think I help you out because he's getting a bit old, isn't he?
Did you see what she did there? Just because it was my birthday last week, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Was there?
Yeah.
Another one?
Yeah.
How young are you?
It wasn't last week, was it? It was a week before.
Mm. How young am I?
Mm.
I don't get my bus pass until next year.
Wow.
Do they still do them?
Yeah, yeah.
Or buses? I just won't get your TV licence.
They're making me pay for my TV licence. That's not
cruel,
fair.
Isn't it?
That's cruel, isn't it?
After all you've done for the arts and media.
Anyway, Diamond Circle Weddings, they say, have a great show. Welcome back, Bird.
Thank you.
Sunday, the 22nd of September, we'll be at the Grand Folkestone. It's an open day and wedding fair. So do go down and say hello to Paul and Polly from Diamond Circle Weddings, 22nd of September at the Grand in Folkestone. That's a lovely place as well.
The Grand?
Yeah, yeah.
It is. It's just down the road.
Yeah, I'm doing an event there soon as well, in October.
Are you? What are you doing?
Careers Fair.
Oh, nice. Nice place.
Mm. Cool, so thank you for that. Do you know what? I think we played some tunage.
What have you picked?
Well, I just picked something because I was having an argument.
I've just picked something.
No, no, I'll pick something because I was having an argument with Lucy last night.
Okay.
Yeah. Lucy didn't like this song, so I'm going to play it.
But she can't hear it. She's at school.
I know, but when she gets home, I'm going to play it to her on repeat.
Nice.
Yeah, because I'm like that.
She doesn't like it.
Nah. I think it was part of the fact that I was saying that basically I ought to be Prime Minister now that we've done away with elections.
You so should.
Yeah, and the reason I should be Prime Minister is because...
You crashed the vocals?
Because I'm perfect.
Nice.
Yeah.
I won't do that again. It's got to be. They make such mistakes. They're much too eager to give their love away. Well, I have been foolish too many times. Now I'm determined. I'm gonna get it right.
Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Business bodyguard. riftaccounting.com.
My Careers Options gives real career choices for your child's brighter future. Through simple, fun questions and puzzles, your child will discover careers they can do, want to do, and which suit who they are. My Careers Options unique careers report also supports the school to help your child make informed decisions about their future education and careers choices. 50% off today with code BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk. That's BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk on this Tuesday the 10th of September with me, Paul Andrews, and my absolutely lovely co-host, the lovely Miss Sarah Ann Lucas, Bird on a Bike.
Thank you.
Cool. Good. Well, fantastic. Perfect.
Just like you.
Just like me. Yeah. Yeah, perfect.
Yeah.
What should we do? We've got two guests that we're going to talk to very shortly.
Uh-huh.
You can do one more tweet or an email.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've got loads of emails, so yeah. Let's start. We've got a lunch and learn with Orchard Employment Law and Hawksafe. And this is on Wednesday, the 18th of September. That's next Wednesday. I can't believe it. 12 till 2, and that's at K Sport Cobdown, and that's Aylesford. Are you prepared for the changes in law, which will take place next year? Or maybe not. Who knows?
Yeah, they might change their minds.
Do you know how to conduct a risk assessment? So we've got Orchard Law. Sorry, Gemma, but it's just funny. Orchard Law and Hawksafe have joined together for this Lunch and Learn, and it's an event to help local business owners and managers with their important topics. So, for example, get ready for the changes in HR law, 2020 changes in employment law legislation, what should be an employment contract, managing staff absences and performance. And then you've got Andy Haith from the Health and Safety Consultant, and he's going to talk about risk assessments. What are they and why do we need them? This is just £32. Go on Eventbrite. It's a lunch and learn, and it's employment law.
Fantastic. And there's lots of things to learn about too, because it's another area where they've been messing about, changing rules, changing regulations, and we need to keep on top of it. Do you know what, though? I think it's about time we introduce some professionalism and decorum into the show.
Okay.
Don't you think?
I thought we were doing quite well myself. But
before we do that, should we talk to our guests?
I like that.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back again Daryl Dumont of My Careers Options. Daryl, welcome back.
Hi,
it's great to see you. Thanks for coming in. And you've brought us someone really interesting that we're going to talk to in a moment. Not that you're not interesting, but of course you are. But just remind us very quickly about My Careers Options and what's happening with it.
Yeah, so just a quick update, because I was only a couple of weeks ago, but My Careers Options is an online assessment tool we've built that helps students come up with ideas of careers they would be suited to. So all those 11 to 20-year-olds are really struggling, trying to find where they're going to go, what they're going to do.
Yep.
So we've built that assessment to help schools and students do exactly that.
Mm-hmm.
And as I mentioned last time I was on, the big thing we're doing now, schools are all back, so we're looking to try and we've got a goal of achieving every school in Kent to have access to the assessment for free.
Yep.
So we're looking for businesses in Kent to help us do that and sponsor a school or two schools or 10 schools, whatever suits them really.
Sure.
And they can contact us and we'll share the information so they can see if it's appropriate for them.
Yeah, and I think it's a fabulous tool. It's an absolutely brilliant tool. The schools love it. Students love it. I'm going to sponsor a school,
cool.
And I've already organised that with Daryl, and we're sponsoring a school to give access to all of their pupils to use this platform. So I'd urge you, if you're in a business and you want to look at the future, look at the future of employment, you know, as we were discussing earlier with the INS figures, there are 840,000 unfilled jobs at the moment in the United Kingdom, and we have a skill shortage, and we want to encourage young people and people from all sections of society. I was doing a TV piece yesterday talking about the older generation in the workforce, the over 50s, and 50% of all jobs are being filled by over 50s at the moment. And in fact, 128,000 jobs were filled by over 65s last year. So, you know, we want to encourage young people into the workplace as well. Totally. It's totally about encouraging people into the workplace. So all power to you, Daryl. Awesome. If people want to look at it, what's the website? So they're going
to
have a look.
You can go to www.mycareersoptions.co.uk or you can find us on Twitter at mycareersoption. But we'll share obviously a link there to the PDF so you can find out what it's all about, how much it costs. It's you know, it's less than £1 a student, so it's really, really cost effective. And it does what they desperately need.
Absolutely, so, it does. So, yeah, absolutely, it does. It's a fabulous platform, fabulous product, and we're going to try as best we can to help get that in front of as many students and their parents and guardians as possible. Thank you for that. But you've also brought us someone interesting as well.
My good friend Lee.
Yeah. Lee Ashwood. So how did you, I'm going to introduce Lee in a minute. How did you come across Lee and what's the connection?
I've known Lee for many years now. And Lee has set up a new business, which he'll explain to you.
Yeah.
With a team of people. And obviously, you know, my background is marketing. So I've kind of been alongside helping them.
Fantastic,
in supporting them with social media and the marketing of the business. But it's so awesome. I think it just they need to get more and more out there on it. So.
Absolutely. Well, let's turn to Lee Ashwood. Lee, welcome to the Business Monk Show. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, I do believe you're a fairly local business. Are you based in Smarden?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
We just opened our office last Friday.
Wow,
so,
okay.
We are bringing jobs to the local community.
Fantastic. I need you to get a little bit closer to the mic because it's kind of echoing a little bit. So, Epic View is what you know. Epic View, is what you're known as on social media. But the company's called.
It is Epic View. Yeah, right. We got Epic Vision.
Right.
They were trading as Epic View. It was that came about just from getting domain.
Yeah, it's
all the
pain
fun
these days, isn't it?
The digital era.
Yeah. So tell us what Epic View does, and then we'll kind of go from there.
Okay. Yeah. So Epic View is a remote monitoring service for epilepsy sufferers.
Right.
At the moment, the alternative is that you have what they call waking night staff for people that have serious. There's like with most things, epilepsy. There's different scales.
Yeah,
of it.
Sure.
But for anybody that has kind of risk of life, and when you think that there are 1,000 people a year in the UK that die from epilepsy.
Wow. Okay.
And the more we kind of got into it, you can start understanding these aspects of it, and it's a big problem out there. It's an alternative.
Okay, so this is a new service that you've recently launched. But what you've adequately described, obviously, what the issues are. What brought you to this, and where did this idea come from in terms of what you've actually done?
Yeah, so what it came from was. One of the other co-founders, his son has got autism and epilepsy.
Yeah.
And the from that they have care packages that come together to look after and support the family and the individual. And the thing was, like 7 nights a week, 10 o'clock at night, gets a knock on the door, and a stranger comes into their house, sits on the sofa. And the idea was that every kind of half an hour or so, they'd go up to the lad's bedroom door, put the head round, see if he was okay, and then go back to the sofa.
Right.
The trouble is that there was inconsistencies, shall we say, and when people were coming in either inebriated or falling asleep on the sofa and all of that, when it's your loved one, you can't just leave.
You can't afford that. Yeah, no, absolutely.
So. What he started off was we put like a high definition camera system in the lad's bedroom, so at least the person that was looking after them could come and watch them all the time rather than just poking the head round. I mean, a seizure typically lasts no more than 4 minutes, so if you've got somebody just putting their head round the door, the chances of them seeing it,
they could have missed it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Which is often
so. This kind of idea came from necessity, as ideas often do, quite rightly, because you're solving a problem that you indeed face. So step me through. So you've got high definition cameras.
Yep.
So what actually happens if I need to use your service? What's the process? How do I go about it? What happens?
Yeah. So what it is, we have people that sit down and do an assessment with the family, with the loved one, depending on the age. Mm. So we can highlight what's actually needed. Mm. And then we have like this central monitoring centre where we have two people that are watching that camera constantly.
Right.
So that we've got the chance of missing something gets reduced. We've also got a trained epilepsy nurse on staff.
Right.
So that if you've got a family that they've got a newly diagnosed loved one, sometimes it can be quite a scary time when they're having a seizure.
Yeah.
And to be able to have somebody that's trained, knows what they're doing, just to be able to keep them calm. And as I say, often, more often than not, the seizures are 4 minutes or less. Mm. But if it does continue and they do need help, then we're there that we can call the emergency services for right. them, but right. we can also keep them calm and give them advice while they're tending to their loved one.
Okay. So basically you see this happen, you talk other people that are there through what's going on and the kind of reactions that they should have.
Yeah.
And then if it continues beyond a certain point, you would then call paramedics or an ambulance or
and
something.
And get blue lights. Yeah, for okay. them. So it just gives them that kind of level of security mm. and support.
Okay. There's kind of a number of benefits, I guess, around this in terms of, one, you've got permanent surveillance,
yeah.
As opposed to what you were saying with someone remembering to pop up and have a look. Also, you've got expertise on tap as well, because yeah. I'm assuming that a lot of the care support packages aren't delivered by people that are expert in epilepsy. They're just people that are available to be there.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're called waking night staff, and yeah. the reason is that if they do see something, then they go and wake
yeah.
the guardian or the carer
yeah.
At that point. So, yeah.
I mean, it also strikes me that there must be adults that have epilepsy that maybe live alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what's the process for people in that situation?
So when what we tend to find is that people suffering from epilepsy at any age, right, will have a support infrastructure around them with friends, neighbours, yep. family, whatever.
Yeah.
And what we're doing is that it's all autonomous. From our operators don't know the names of the people or anything. They're just monitoring the camera. Yeah. But they can. We have a whole raft of numbers that we can go to for each individual, and this right. is part of the the assessment at the beginning.
Okay.
So it's like, okay, if we do see that you're having a seizure, kind of what do you want us to do? What do you want us to do in this situation? And because there's multiple types of seizure.
Sure. So it's a bit like SOS, like my old mum, bless her, in her 90s, she's got an SOS bracelet. If she falls over or something like that, she presses the bracelet, a command centre rings me yeah. or my sister and says, your mum's fallen over, can you go and pick her up?
Yeah. yeah?
And we go, yeah, tomorrow.
yeah, I mean, the thing is that, and why there is a lot of that going about. The trouble is that when somebody's having a seizure, mm. they're not in a position to press a button.
To press a button. No, absolutely, yeah, absolutely,
so,
yeah.
So, so what we've got is watching them constantly.
Yeah, no, I understand that. Yep. Yeah, no, I can see that entirely. And that's the problem, isn't it? For people that have epilepsy, they don't know when it's going to strike either.
No.
So, you know, they're as out of control as anyone else because they have no ability to interact with it once it's happening to them.
Yeah.
Okay. As a business, you launched when?
Officially, our offices were opened by Damien Green on Friday.
The local MP, yeah.
Yeah.
So last Friday.
Kindly came down and opened up the offices.
Yeah.
So that was our kind of official launch at that point.
Okay. So as a business, you know, we've kind of talked about the technicalities of what you do as a business. It's an interesting thing. From a client point of view, is this a national service? Is it a local service? Where are we now? Where do you expect to be?
So it's a national service. Mm-hmm. Because it's done remotely, it doesn't actually matter where the people are. Mm. We, as part of the onboarding, as it were, we check things like broadband speeds, and which can sometimes be a problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we've got very optimised software that runs on it, so we can actually monitor at very low levels.
Yep.
But we check all of that out,
of course,
beforehand.
Yeah. And just playing devil's advocate a little bit here, what about privacy?
So this is the, I mean, for me, I think it's one of the bigger aspects, right? Because at the moment, if you've got somebody you don't know coming into your house, that's very intrusive.
Absolutely.
Not just for the individual that's suffering from epilepsy, but for the whole family.
Yeah, right? Of course.
And this is 7 nights a week.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? It's coming in.
Yeah.
So you've got that. And also, because they know that they get monitored, if they want to stop being monitored, they can chuck a T-shirt over it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And we will only be monitoring during the period that, you know, like if they want us to monitor between 10 p.m. and 8 a.m., we're only going to be monitoring at those points.
Yeah.
If they don't want to be monitored, obviously, they can put a T-shirt or something over it. We will obviously let the carer know. We'll ring through and let them know that's happened.
Yeah.
So I think privacy is they've got more control over this rather than
somebody opening the door and going, hello!
Yeah. Boo! So, I think actually it gives them more privacy and it's less intrusive for the family.
And I'm going to fly by the seat of my pants here, and you might tell me off, but I'm assuming it's quite a bit cheaper to do it this way as well.
Yeah, it's about a third of the price, right? That has been charged at the moment for a waking night staff. So, which is kind of one of the good aspects, but one of the frustrating, because we're seeing that the councils and the care packages that are being put together at the moment, they're already funding these. Mm. They could do so much more with the budgets they've already got.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it is heartbreaking when you speak to families. We spoke to a family last week that's got a young daughter, has 3 or 4 seizures a day. The parents are having to do all of the care. They get no support. So the mum is like permanent carer. The dad's going out to work to keep the bills paid. Then when he comes home, they split shift evening, right? And then, but when you see that those kind of people are getting no help whatsoever, and we could monitor, if there was somebody that was getting monitored 7 days a week, for example, we could still monitor that person, and arguably in a less intrusive, much better way.
Yeah.
But then also offer like 2 nights respite for 6 families a week.
Yeah.
Just at the same price, right? So nobody's paying out anymore.
Yeah.
But to give 2 nights respite to these families that haven't had a whole night's sleep in years is massive,
fabulous. Yeah.
You know, to be able to offer that.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Lee, do you have the numbers of how many people suffer from epilepsy in the UK?
Yeah, so there's roughly 600,000.
Wow, 600,000,
yes.
Over 500,000.
So about 1 in 110 people in the UK has epilepsy.
Right.
As I say, there's different triggers, there's different types of seizures people get. But also, I mean, that's also one of the major points with the service we're doing, because some of the troubles that the medical community have is they don't have enough data. To look at this. And when you can see what the seizure somebody's had, a lot of the medical experts can see what's triggered, right? So they know it's the left-hand part of the brain, the right-hand, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But that has an impact on how they go, what medicine that they use.
Yeah.
Now, what we do is we create a diary so that when people can log their medication, for example, but we have all the seizures, and that can be shared with their specialist that they're working with, right? So But we can also, like moving forward, there are a lot of smart devices. Like everybody's wearing smart watches, and they have things like Seizure Max, and they have, and there's some great technology out there.
Yeah.
But when you kind of look on the like the Facebook pages and things like that, the average seems to be about 7 out of 10 that they're catching.
Right.
Which is good, yeah. Right? But when it's your loved one, seven out of ten is like
there's three
not enough. So so but what we can do is we can have those in conjunction. So if we can, we're working with a number of the like manufacturers to get the APIs to be able to talk to these devices.
Yeah.
But we can take that data as well and put it in this diary. So if you go to your specialist, you can see that. Right, okay, well, this is what their temperature was or blood pressure was and everything else on the leader. So they can start seeing triggers, they can start seeing trends.
You can see patterns evolve.
And we can feed all of this back. Obviously, it's down to the individual and data protection and all of those things, right? But there is a way of creating this whole data catalogue for the medical profession, for the individuals. To help in diagnosing and medicating, because a lot of the medication's done on a kind of trial and error, right? They want to see what effects it has. At least when the more data they've got, the more targeted they can be on the medication that they're giving.
Absolutely, wow. Well, it's a very clever and useful thing that you've done here. We wish you much success with it, Lee. If people want to find out more about EpiView, how can they do that?
So you can go on our website, which is www.epiview.co.uk. Mm-hmm. We're on Twitter, at EpiView.
Right.
Give us a call. The office number is 0845 154 2000. And we'd happily go through some of the different offerings we've got, what we can do to work with people, what they need, individuals, because it's one of those kind of real personal
things, absolutely. Right? So
it's working with what works for that family.
Yeah, so you're not going to just sign up online and go and slam a camera in the house.
No.
There's a whole consultative process beforehand in which you assess not only the people but the suitability of the technology in the location that they live as well.
And also if people have got funded care packages and you're going to be making a change to that, then there's a process for going through that change in care package. But we can help with all of that. Mm. And also, there are a lot of people out there that aren't getting funding that probably could do. Right? And it's kind of working with those families and people as well to see how we can help.
Fantastic. Look, we wish you much success with this. It sounds like a fantastic thing that you're doing. And a real benefit and help to people that find themselves in those situations. And as you quite rightly say, it's not just the epileptic person themselves, it's their carers and supporters and their family that need some respite from this too.
Yeah.
You know,
everybody needs support.
Yeah, absolutely. Lee, fantastic idea.
Thank you.
Much kudos to you for coming up with this, and we wish you much success with it.
Thank you very much indeed.
I wanted to ask all the time, because it's just lovely listening to. So Lee, I'm going to ask some poking the bear questions, really. What made you start it as a business and not, say, a charity or an NGO?
So what it is that we're looking at it and trying to get the right level of access and support right for everybody, and so we've had to invest in getting the software right to be able to have an app on your phone so that you can see and play back these video clips, that you can have diaries and things like that. So we kind of wanted to get it to a point where we could make it inexpensive enough to make it more acceptable for a greater range of people, but also to be able to put the funding into the research and development to bring out more features and more functionality for everybody.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, so many people would have started it as a charity or it would have been, you know, and then you have to run it so differently. And I actually think run it as a business.
Absolutely. And you've got access to funding. You can, you know... you know, there's all kinds of things you can do to make it work, isn't there?
Yeah.
So many people start not-for-profit businesses or try to start charities, and not least of which it can take years to get registered as a charity as well.
And it's always a great idea and it's always a great need. And actually, you just want it to be a business. You want to go, look, if this was a business, it would give it so much more energy, a different pathway. So that's what I liked about it. I was like, oh, how interesting that you chose that pathway and not the other two options that seem to be on trend.
Yeah,
and we kind of just want to get it moving. And when you say on average there's like 3 deaths a day, right, from epilepsy related.
Yeah,
that's big, right? And the numbers haven't ever been going down. These are climbing and climbing.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. And you have like the SUDEP, which is like the sudden death.
Yeah.
And if we can get in there and see more of what's going on and prevent some of the. Like, even if you save one life, it's great. But if you could actually make an impact onto the numbers, that because it's a huge problem.
Well, we don't understand that actually epilepsy causes death. Yeah. It's like asthma. We don't understand that it causes death. So actually, when we start talking about it, it actually starts to build that awareness and people go, I didn't realise it was
You're so right, because it's something we all know about. We've all heard of epilepsy. It's not something we've not known about, is it? But we all assume that it's something that people might suffer from a bit, not the extremes that you're describing. Yeah. And that's massive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it blew me away when you start getting the actual numbers. Mm. It's one of those things that doesn't get spoken about because everybody knows. And when, if you've got 1 in 110 people that are suffering from it, but most of us will know someone or some friends of friends.
Yeah.
That's
exactly. Yeah, yeah.
And absolutely. It sounds like this is something you've taken on board as a passion rather than something which is your background or anything like that.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And that was the next question. I was going to say, what is your background, Lee?
Yeah.
Working with large enterprises in the IT sector.
Okay. So you've got some IT background.
Yeah.
He's a techie.
Yeah,
he's a techie. He's a geek. Yeah.
Well, I can talk about it.
No, that's a geek.
That's okay.
Lee, that's fantastic. Thank you so much. Thank you for that. We're kind of almost at the half point of the show. We've got loads of tweets still to read, loads of emails. I want to tell you about an email that I've had, and it's about a brand new murder mystery play, would you believe? And Joanne Price has emailed us and said, I was wondering if you could help promote a brand new murder mystery play which comes to the Chilham Village Hall on the 4th and 5th of October. Henry's Last Party promises a night of mystery and laughter. Tickets and more information can be found at
World Wide Web. We haven't done it for ages.
I know.
I thought, we've stopped doing it now.
Yeah, henryslastparty.co.uk. It would be great to get a word out about this brand new piece of theatre written and performed by local people. Thank you. And that's from Joe Price. So do check that out. henryslastparty.co.uk. Taking place on the 4th and 5th of October at Chilham Village Hall.
Well, that leads nicely on to asking Nettie, how did Sam get on?
He did really well.
Yeah.
I don't like talking about my son in public. Paul, you do it.
let's just say what he was doing. He went to the Fringe, didn't he?
He went to the Fringe.
Sam was on the radio a while ago. He wrote a play which was selected to go up to Fringe. He was the first-year student, I believe, that had gone on an art and drama degree. This is my son.
He's at Reading.
He's at Reading. Yeah. And he got a Mystery Shop review, which was a 4-star review from the British Theatre Guide.
See, that's amazing.
It will now be archived.
Amazing.
Yeah. And it was on for a week. I flew up to see it. But I booked tickets that he didn't know I had to start with, so I could actually sit and watch it without him thinking, my mother
is here. Yeah, yeah.
And then
because you don't want your mum in the audience, do you? You really don't. Not when you're telling those kind of.
Not when it's me.
Not when you're telling those kind of jokes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was very interesting. It was not. It's a very dark. A dark comedy, I suppose.
Yeah.
Sam always said that, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
He always said it.
Do you wonder where? I was going to say, have I missed something as the parent?
Yeah. What have I done wrong?
Yeah,
what did I do to make this happen?
I'm glad they're both over 18s and, you know, social services can't come knocking
anymore.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I think it's clearly a brain that absorbs things and sees things. And I think that's quite often the way, isn't it? When you're a writer or you're someone more creative, you see things from a different angle.
Mm.
And I'm a little bit like that, but Sam is a lot like that. So he sees that. I mean, mental health was the thing he challenged, but he did it in a way that was about how the people around somebody react. The I don't know if he got the charity involved when he spoke to you or not. Did he have?
No, he hadn't. No.
Right, so he wanted to do something that when you write a dark comedy about something like mental health and, you know, drugs and all of this sort of thing, he wanted to make sure that it was funny but not gone too far.
Not offensive. Okay.
So he contacted, or the person doing the marketing for the play actually contacted somebody when they were in review, when they were doing their review programme before they took it up to Fringe, or they're practising and all that. And this lady from a local charity came and watched it, but Sam sent her the script first, and he just said, you know, if this really isn't your thing, say so. Mm. And the lady came and watched the play, and at the end of it, actually said the reason the charity was set up was because her own son had killed himself as a result of a lot of the things that Sam was discussing in this play, and she endorsed it completely.
Well,
she said because it looked at it from the outside in. Everybody focuses on this person, and she said the person who suffered the most, I believe, if I've got the story right, was this boy's own siblings, because everybody was thinking of him and nobody was looking outside the box. Very much what you're saying with the epilepsy. You know, it's all very well, I know this is a work of fiction, but it's all very well, we all concentrate on one thing, and actually it was the people around that struggled.
That is so true. You know that I'm the president of a couple of kids charities, kids with disabilities, and that is so true. The other siblings do get pushed to one side because of the needs of that particular individual. They do get kind of left a little bit because they're normal.
And they're suffering in their own way. So it was, Sam was really pleased that this lady not only came to see it, she let her charity obviously raise money off the back of it, and she endorsed it. So, so right now he's back working to earn some money until I send him back to university.
That's what we
at
like.
The end of the month.
And keep his mother in the...
Yeah, keep his feet firmly on the ground. That's what you've got to do with that boy.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, thank you for that, everyone. We've got to join the newsroom at Channel Radio now, and when we come back, we've got some more guests to talk to, but let's go over to the news.
On the Hour, Channel Radio News Update.